to give him like a chew toy. He's just foaming at the mouth in the writer's room.
Get him rawhide here. He's going to slur quick. Welcome back to Monday Night Fake Fights, where I, Garrett Taylor, she, they, am doing a rewatch of the Monday Night Wars and making it everybody's problem. This week's victim, yeah, it's, I love that you like that, Sangy. This week's victim is Sangy Lou.
Hello.
You might know Sangy from the artwork to our show. Yay. Sangy is a wonderful artist and friend and coworker, and like literally made the design that we use. Outside of my little profile character, that's legitimately a drawing from my kiddo. So
yeah, like you can't improve upon perfection, so I just included it.
And he really knocked it out of the park when I was like, make me girl Orange Cassidy, and he's like, okay. And like it's like you can't get much better than that, so thank you. Cleaner lines. I appreciate you cleaned up the lines. But yes, I will slowly but surely have all of my coworkers on this podcast. There's two of them now. So you are the latest. Hello. Welcome. Outside of the other times I've forced you by asking very nicely to watch wrestling with me on a microphone, what's your history, if any, with wrestling, Sangy?
Oh, it is. It's extremely limited. I have a friend of mine in Philly who is trying their damnedest to get me into wrestling. Like every time I visit them, they're like, hey, do you want to watch this AEW match? Or do you want to like sit with us and watch this match? Or they're a big fan of showing me the Great Space Wars from DDT.
Oh, so, yeah. Oh, God.
So
I haven't even taken that full dive yet. I've taken enough of a dive to know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. So they've been drip feeding me like these the good stuff in a hopes of setting up like a big enough trail to get me into wrestling. So
it's that's a tried and true, that's the culture, that is part of the culture, that is how we often have to do it, Sangy, is like and everyone has their own like go-to, like what you do to try to like what you would show somebody to really get them to like get it, you know. And I think that what ends up defining the best things in wrestling is the stuff that becomes that. Because I can think of a recent example. Everyone else in my house had like a passing knowledge of wrestling or knew it, you know, older stuff, like, you know, basically like my partner knew stuff from pre-WCW NWA, back when WCW was the name of the TV show, not the company. So like very old wrestling, and like as far as it's like before our mandate, if you will. But like hadn't watched it since then, and I was getting back into it, and I was telling them about what was going on in current WWE with the Bloodline and Sami Zayn specifically, and Sami basically breaking out of an abusive relationship and coming for the throne on this guy and just getting more over than anyone has gotten over, like completely through just sheer charisma of the guy. Like it was not the plan for this dude to become the most popular thing in wrestling. He just did it by being so fucking good at what he did. So funny. It became every week you would watch to see which one of the Usos was going to crack first over Sammy being funny. Basically. And like, in that kind of shit, like some people get all, you know how I feel about lack of whimsy, Sangy. I'm against it. Wrestling should have some whimsy. And Sammy was bringing the whimsy, and he also brought the underdog, and like it got real fired up. And like I would tell this kind of stuff to the family, and they're like, "Why? I don't want to see that." And it got to the point where we watched some pay-per-views together as a family because they were drawn in to Sammy taking out Roman and getting out of this abusive, like, gang abusive relationship and like trying to dethrone this guy who's hurting his friend, you know, like, and trying to get his friend out of this abusive family dynamic and all this. And like, that's where that whole thing is where the joke most recently came out in wrestling internet culture of cinema. Is like the stuff that, like, people were like, you had like wrestling journalists going, no, like, this deserves an Emmy, you know. And you go ahead.
I was gonna say, I think that's like, since a lot of my understanding of wrestling comes from that, and like I would say in like 90s wrestling, my only impression was like my grandpa Pederoski and my uncles were super into it and would be like trading tapes and stuff from the
Oh,
wrestling, and
yeah.
like I would only hear bits and pieces of it. But I think like speaking to whimsy, like I have noticed that a lot. To my understanding, like in this current era of wrestling, the kayfabe has kind of been broken, or like everyone kind of agrees to look the other way. But to that effect, I think it's allowed people to do goofier time or goofier stories. Like one of my favorite ones, I've told you about this before, is the fucking dude who, can I swear on this podcast?
Please. Oh God, I've said awful, terrible, horrible things on.
But the story of the guy who wears the neck brace.
Oh, which one? Because but no, like, which one? In current one, is it Roderick Strong? Who, yeah, who
But I think with like that like thing broken, I feel like the storylines that I hear from it, and especially from the, you know, the two specials I watched last night, the current ones are sillier. People get to do more dramatic thing. It feels more like buffed out theater kids having a great time. And then like
Yeah.
older stuff, like I noticed for both of them, it's like, oh, everyone's pissed and everyone's gross and everyone's just mad at each other. And I'm like, okay, that's fine, but this
It's
feels like it would
getting
be tiring after a while.
well, I mean, that's what we're getting to. We're getting to the point where it's starting to tire out. Because like the real difference I feel like is in this is gonna be another week where we talk about Josie. I should probably just talk to her about coming on the pod. It goes into a lot in her book, Ringmaster, and just various essays on it. Like the kayfabe thing, it was always what it is now is what it always kind of was. But without being open about it, it's like most of the fans knew it was fake, but they played into it too because that was the fun of it. The lie really came to the wrestlers and promoters lying to themselves into thinking they were actually fooling anybody.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? So, but it's like it all works on a shared lie. It's a shared lie. And like you, and in the same way that theater is, and that any this kind of stuff is. That's why it doesn't work when people, you know, it's fake, right? Well, like, yeah, well, so's, you know, film, you know, but like I still like me a good horror movie.
Yeah,
God,
I guess nobody like goes out of the theater and turns to you and like, you know, that movie you just watched? Totally fake. Never
Totally
happened.
fake, never happened. Fuck
Gonna
off,
do that
really?
next time.
You should. Oh my God. No, I'm just sitting here thinking like we're it is October. I have watched more horror films in the last 21 days than is probably healthy. Like I don't even some of them are really like the plot. I know it's bad when the plots are starting to run into each other in my head. Our mutual friend Kennedy, former guest, asked me something about the movie Oddity because they're getting ready to watch it, like if they thought it'd be good for kids. And I was like, I'm legit gonna have to go back to the wiki and remember which one that was.
Check the
Like,
synopsis real
I'm not,
quick.
yeah, just like, to, and I read, I was like, oh yeah, no, that's fine, and it was a banger. Yeah, like, but like, I can't. I've watched so many movies, I can't put names to faces right now with it. But all that to say, wait, what was I saying? In the shared lie of it all. But all that to say that, like, I hope to God films aren't real because, like, if Blood and Honey 2 actually happened, I'm I got questions. Holy fuck. Winnie the Pooh is a bad bear. Very bad bear.
I think Pulse would have taken us out a while ago
Yeah.
too.
If these were all actually documentaries, no, things would have been, no, the world would have been different. Goddamn. So, yes, no, I know it's fake, obviously. Fuck you. But that, like, you hit the nail on the head, is that now it's where it was, but also the shared lie is like out in the open instead of like them still clinging on this idea that they were protecting it. I could go in even further as to why. Like, it, oh, you know what? I will,
Oh
Sangi.
shit.
Sangi,
It's your
it's my
podcast.
podcast, and it's not, yeah, thank you. And it's not very often that it ties in so well, but it just so happens that a lot of stuff that happened this week ties into last week so beautifully. Last week I talked to Brooke Binkowski, wonderful human, delight, about Jack Pfeffer and how he basically got pissed off and like broke kayfabe and like told all the secrets. But the thing that really was the kicker is that he told everyone that they were chumps, that people thought of them as marks. So like it wasn't that it was fake. Everyone knew it was fake. Everyone else thought that they were in on it together and it was a fun thing. They didn't realize that all the promoters like thought they were like dumb hicks that they were taking the money of, and they felt insulted. And that ruined the business for like 2 decades in New York specifically, more than anywhere. But like it reverberated. And one of the reverberations of that was that they tripled down on kayfabe.
Oh, God.
So that's why it's 1996 now in our journey here. And you still have people trying to make you think maybe it's real and still. Because like they had to, because it hurt the business, and they saw what happened. They saw that this guy broke kayfabe, and it ru almost ruined us for 2 decades. So
Well,
like,
I don't think it was the broken kayfabe. I think it was just calling your audience idiots.
a
Nobody
bunch of
likes
fucking
that.
marks, yeah,
Yeah. Oh, you guys are all fucking idiots for watching me. Thanks.
They can't. It's one of those things where like you can't put together. Maybe it's our own toxicity. Oh no, no, no.
It's not me. It's the children who
Yeah,
are wrong.
you are wrong. I mean, precisely. Fuck. So yeah, that's why they went so hard on it. But what's great about nowadays is it's everyone's in on it, so you can do that, or you can have one of my favorites, Orange Cassidy, who the King of Sloth style. Like I've seen that man literally get put to sleep because, oh God. When we're done here, I can show you the match. A guy puts a sleeper hold on him where he literally takes out a pillow and holds it up to his head and just slowly brings him down.
That's great. That's great. Like, I'm not even gonna pretend that's real, but that's fucking funny.
It's the whole match is what we're talking about is genius. I can't remember the name of the other guy off the top of my head. But it's they were fighting for like the Sideshow Championship as a circus themed promotion, and the whole point was that it was like the weird gimmick title, you know. And but the match that these guys put on, because the okay, so like the crowd too, and this gets into why the crowd is so important. The crowd is now in on it, right? So while he's getting put to sleep, and he tries to cover him for the pin. And OC doesn't kick out, but he rolls over to the other side and puts his thumb in his mouth at the two. You know, so the crowd's trying to be quiet so he doesn't kick out, you know. But so he rolls over and the guy's like, oh fuck, and he goes and he gets a blanket from under the ring and brings it out to tuck him in to get him back in. And as he's doing that, the crowd's going, you sick fuck, you sick fuck. Just be as quiet as possible.
So good. That's like an incredible way to work the crowd in a way that they get to participate in the match
And
and
no one
not
had to
like,
tell him to.
yeah.
No, that's the beauty of it is no one had to tell him to. That's why it's vaudeville. That's why it's the heir to that is the crowd is as much character at this point. And that's why I like about a lot of people hate that about modern wrestling. I love that about modern wrestling. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, like everyone gets to like be a part of it. Like it's more memorable that way. Everyone gets to have a good time. Like, I don't know.
You, every once in a while, it works towards creating moments that you weren't expecting that become huge. Like Bray Wyatt's Fireflies, rest in peace, Bray Wyatt's one of my favorite of the newer generation of wrestlers who actually, unfortunately, is dead because of COVID.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, well, he had a heart condition that flared up out of just mysteriously out of nowhere after he got COVID. You know, and it's like, okay, well, he died of complications of long COVID. Just say that.
Yeah.
But they
well, this country's full of cowards on that.
Yeah. And litigious people. So, you know, good thing there's not that many people listen to this, but I love all of you that do. so, like, that's my thoughts on that. I will always be pissy about that because he was a genius and he was doing this kind of stuff in the Fed where he had, like, demon alter ego characters and like us he was building up towards a they're now they're called the Wyatt Six and they're like these wrestlers who have like these crazy masks and shit. His original Fiend mask, the original version he did of this for himself, was designed by Tom Savini. So that kind of shit. And like he really started to blend that horror line in a way that was just so good. He did, but a lot of that came, one of his things was the Fireflies is what he called his fans, because the first time he came out with the lights out, everyone brought their phones up.
Oh, that's so cool.
No one, you know, told them to do that. It's just a thing that when we're in crowds, that's what we do. You bring up lighters, you bring up, you know, your things. And he came out and he's like, well, it's all my Fireflies. So that became the Fireflies, and that became his people, and eventually it was the Firefly Funhouse, which was his demented version of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Oh my god, that shit, if you ever want to fucking do too much drugs and have a time. Someone took all the Firefly Funhouse segments that aired over like weeks and weeks and months and months, and compress them all onto one YouTube video. And I did that one night. And oh my God, it's a horror movie. It's a horror movie. It's terrifying. And it ends with the reveal of the Fiend, which is this Tom Savini masked, unbeatable monster alter ego of Bray Wyatt, where he's like overcome by this demon. And it's awesome. And like the first time the Fiend comes out, because Bray Wyatt would come out with a gas like lantern, old school gas lantern. It was really cool and it was part of his shtick. The Fiend came out with a lantern with Bray Wyatt's head, severed head, like shoved inside its mouth, like that. So like that's what I'm talking about. He's like, I'm going to be a fucking monster. And like he did that shit on the Fed when they were still trying to be PG and shit. And it came off kind of corny and goofy because they didn't know what to do with it. But it was genius shit. I love it. It was some of my favorite stuff. So that's our little bit of rest in peace to Bray Corner. But no, that all that to say that I agree with you about how fun modern stuff can be. Because of that, and I think it makes it easier to get people into it when you come to them from that angle of it instead and being like, look, this is just theater and other stuff, but if you let yourself get pulled into it, you could have a really great time, you know, but like you gotta buy the ticket to take the ride, you know, it's basically what it comes down to. And on that note, where do you want to start our ride? Do you want to start on Nitro or Raw?
I started with Nitro. So let's start with Nitro, I guess.
Cool. It's the first in my notes and it's good. Good. I had this note that came over from last week's episode and I actually didn't say at the time, and it still fits though. Explosions in an urban neighborhood and I'm not panicking. It must be 96. Because for Minneapolis folks, when you see that shit, you go, oh, fuck. All right, let's go. But live from WCW headquarters in Atlanta, Georgia, it's going to be a good one right off the bat.
Okay. Yeah, it has names I recognize.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right? Like, this is places and things that I get. And off the bat, obligatory peppy talk. Phoning it in, kind of confusing Uncle Sam costume on the dog. I don't, at this point, like, it's become obligatory to me because he's been on such a roll, this dog has, that I assumed I was going to be, like, head over heels happy with Pepe. But I was just kind of like, what's going on, man? No New Year's Eve baby?
I I don't remember a dog. Was there a dog on there?
Oh yeah, no, yeah. The Pepe is this little tiny little Chihuahua dog who usually has a costume and some usually matches Mongo. Mongo's the commentator who's got the little dog. And this time he had him in like an Uncle Sam costume, and it like
for I'm New
like,
Year's though.
For New Year's, and I'm just like, did you just? I'm blaming Mongo because I'm thinking he thought New Year's means fireworks means America.
I mean, that's a bit of a walk, but it's a walkable distance.
No, and it's a walk that Mongo would take, I'm convinced. More of a stumble.
It's like, I am not buying a new costume. What's close enough?
This is close enough. Yeah, exactly. Fuck it. I'm not going to be commentating much longer. I'm going to be a horseman. Spoilers. But yeah, woo. We get news that Ric
Spoilers
Flair...
for 1996.
Yeah, right? No, I'm going to keep doing that because it makes me giggle every time I jump ahead in things that happen. It's like, we're talking about 1996 wrestling. I'm sure you know all this. You're here because you're weirdos and you want to hear me talk about it with people. Which is, you know, that's exactly it. Fantastic. Saying he's good people. We get news that Ric Flair is now the 12-time champion, much to Bobby's joy. he gets like immediately happy, which makes me happy, naturally. And we immediately get shit on because after 3 weeks of relief, Hulk Hogan's back.
I was wondering about that. They said he was, oh, why are my notes so awful? He was on suspension? Is that just like story suspension or like...
Hey, Faye, baby.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I was figuring.
He was
Hulk Hogan's suspension. A piece of shit, but they love Hulk Hogan, so...
It is not only do they love him, they are contractually obligated to love him.
Oh, good, good.
And to give him final say on the ways in which they will love him on camera. I think in reality, he was like off filming something. There's going to be a lot of that going on because he's soon to be Hollywood Hulk Hogan in character. But like that comes from the fact that he wants to be a movie star and he's making like Thunder in Paradise. And like,
I'm actually doing a Google. I'm like, what movie would he have been? Oh, Santa with Muscles. I hope it was Santa with Muscles.
Probably Santa with Muscles. Sangi, at this point, I've tried to do my due diligence, and I've given the wrong movie answer to reasons he's been gone like three times on this podcast. So I don't even guess anymore, because it could be Santa with Muscles. It could be, maybe he's doing High Noon and Mega Mountain again.
Because there's three of them. There's a Secret Agent Club, Santa with Muscles, and Spy Hard that came out in 1996. So he could have been off doing any of those.
Any of those. Oh my god. Spire is just a cameo at the end too. Those other ones he actually has, like, here's the sad, I've seen some of these.
I've seen Santa with Muscles on Bad Movie Night before. It's wretched. It's so
it's
wretched.
Very bad. It's so very bad. Secret Agent Club is one of the worst things I've ever taken in. And I don't know why I do this to myself.
I don't know. I'm putting on Bad Movie Night. We have like a little request form, so I'm putting that in there. We haven't done a wrestler movie night in a while.
I have just through being a fan of The Lapsed Fan, they have a whole subsection called Under the Cinemat where they do like 6-hour dives on movies that have some sort of relation to wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
So like those Santa with Muscles, they did like 5 hours on that, like say, like and I've heard it, so I know, this is why I tell people I know too much about Hulk Hogan. It's not okay. It's like, but when Kennedy asked me why I do this, it's because I need to process the things that I know.
this is collective therapy for the 90s.
Yeah, we're all trying to figure out why we let this guy just do his goddamn thing. But 3 weeks without him, he's gonna be back. He wants his title from Flair, and I swear to fucking god, if he wins it, I'm gonna scream. Oh my god, Sangi, just in this moment I'm realizing that I don't think I actually finished Nitro.
That's okay. I missed the last 5 minutes of WWF's Raw poll.
All right, so we can switch out. You're gonna have to finish up match. Professionals, folks, professionals. But yeah, 1996 starts with like the best theme of the era, Arn Anderson, with that boing or boing. Fuck, I love that shit so much. Oh, that's my favorite wrestling theme of the era, possibly of all time. He's going to come out here and enforce some shit. He's going to see your ass after class, and he's going to kick it. That's how I feel every time I see Arn Anderson. This is like shop teacher. Bobby called Mongo McNugget again, and my heart is warm.
I wrote that down. I should have wrote more context, but I have so many quotes from what the commentators say, and one of them was, "I tell you what, McNuggets," and I'm like, "What?" I no have context to turn the subtitles on specifically for this reason.
Oh God, yeah, no, and that leads to a fun game where the subtitles can't keep up with whatever the fuck Mongo's saying.
They're trying their fucking best.
Yeah, and they eventually it's just indistinguishable. I don't know what the fuck that yogol is talking about.
Oh, it's just brackets, God. Indecipherable.
Yes, exactly. I love when that happens. But holy shit. This is a great fucking match, though. Arn starts enforcing immediately. Fuck a bell, just hits him. I wasn't expecting Arn Anderson and Macho. And I'm like, it's one of those matches where it's like, I feel like I should have always wanted to see this, but it mm-hmm. never occurred to me that it happened. And now here it is. And it's like, oh, well, this is going to fuck. Like, there's no way this doesn't fuck. And sure enough, pretty great.
Yeah, this is the time also where they said, one of the announcers said, WCW, the C stands for commitment.
He's still... that's a callback from like 3 weeks ago, Sammy. Bischoff is trying to make that a thing.
You stop trying to make fetch happen. It's not going to happen.
He's fetching so hard. C stands for commitment. No, C stands for committed too hard. You're committing too hard to this bit.
You're trying, man.
Stop it. Cut it out. Yeah, stop trying to make it happen. You know, I will say one thing that he does start to do, though, and I'm seeing this kick up. He lets us know that the Smoking Guns won the Raw Bowl, mm-hmm. whatever that is. So, spoilers to the second half of this episode. The Smoking Guns win the Raw Bowl.
Because I noticed, like, there's a little bit of back and forth. WCW less, and then WWF definitely referencing WCW. It's like, is that just what WCW do? Is like, oh, you're trying to watch this other one? Here's how it goes.
Well, they are leaning in. This is them starting to really lean into that because WCW is live every week. WWE at this point is live 1 week out of the month, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So they can just, but they're airing it roughly the same time. So they can be like, this just happened on Raw. And they are live. They can be like, well, this is what's happening on the other station. Fuck them. Watch us. And they were just doing this shit. And we're going to get to it at Raw. For the first, 17 episodes of this show, kids, Vince hasn't really been answering any of these lobs because Eric's been shooting these cannons pretty solidly for 17 episodes and Vince has just been like not returning volley. This week he returns a volley.
Is it the two fun wrestlers we get to talk about later?
The two fun wrestlers in the war room and a certain billionaire named Ted. And yeah, this shit happened. And it's funny because I was talking to Brooke about this last week's episode about how he's about to sell for the first time and like let people know it's bothering him. And sure enough, it showed up this week. I did not realize it was going to happen that fast. So yay, we'll get to that in detail. Mm-hmm. But like, fuck, in the meantime, they're fighting. This is the war. They are fighting mom. They are fighting. My wrestlers are fighting. They're ruining my Monday. And I just want everyone to get along so I can watch all of it. Which, thanks to time and archives, I can do now. That's why we're here. But all the hullabaloo be damned. This is a really fun as hell wrestling match. Mongo threatens to do something about all the horsemen interfering, and Bobby offers to hold his dog. I'm so happy. I'm so happy that Bobby is on a streak. I feel like we're like 3 weeks in a row of Bobby just being on one. And on top of that, this match rules. Both these guys are so good, and the fact that we get to see this on TV in the 96 is like really kind of wild. It really makes Raw's attacks on them even sadder that we're going to be seeing later about, because like, here's the Nacho Man. It's like
Nacho Man and the Huckster.
in the Huckster, in Scheme Gene, which I will be fair, that one, that's nail on the head. But that's neither here nor there. That hotline bullshit was all bullshit. He was scheming. But they were doing it too, so fuck him. But yeah, we're watching Nacho Man, and he's given us a hell of a match because it's Nacho Man and Arn Anderson. It's like these guys are really good. So like you can't really say much when you're about to give me the Raw Bowl with 1-2-3 fucking Kid, and I'm just fuck you. This match rules. It'd be one thing if the wrestling over here sucked, but the wrestling is better. The commentary is better. With their own guy, because Bobby Heenan was the voice of the WWE like through the 80s. And now and they fired him because because he was too old. That was the whole thing, is that Vince wants this new generation. He wants to make it brand new thing with young stars that he can build dynasties off of. And yeah, it's what he ends up doing. Like, fuck the guy to hell. He executed. But at what cost, Singy? At what cost?
Too high a cost.
Too high a cost. He ruined wrestling for decades. Decades he ruined wrestling. And it's starting to get really good again because there's another show on Turner Broadcasting, of all places, of an alternative to the Fed. And that's all it took, is just something else. Like, turns out no one wants a monopoly in their wrestling. Like, it sucked. It sucked for 20 years. It was the Fed, or get into your indies, which is great. The indies flourished. The indies, it brought about what we have now. Like that, and it's cyclical, I feel like, but that really was a response to what he's doing here. And fuckers. And I it doesn't like really work for me here because this match ruled. It's just good. It's everything I liked about wrestling. He Bobby lazily saying that Arn should take the gauze of Macho's arm and shove it down his throat, which is horrific. But he delivers it like he's still hungover from Christmas.
Right,
And
right, right.
it's so it just I'll just kill him. Just fucking just do a murder. Like,
And
fuck.
then he pulls out, like, I don't know if they were like brass knuckles wrapped in something, but he pulls something out of his shorts to threaten Majo with.
Those are ye olde wrestling. That is like they call them brass knuckles, but that is like the quintessential foreign object of wrestling, is like it's a wrapped something or other that looks like it could be wielded like brass knuckles, but who knows what it fucking actually is. But yeah, no, so like he does out of nowhere, he ducks a forearm and hits a quick DDT, and it's really awesome because he's good at that. But Randy gets the ropes to get out of it, and like, okay, th there's this little kerfuffle. Arn takes out the knuckles, like you said, behind the ref's back, and then with the smoothness, Face Savage gets it from him, hits him with his own brass knuckles. Love it. And the smoothness of someone that has done it thousands of times, before he lifts up Arn's trunks, looks at his penis a bit, and sticks his hands down in there, putting the brass knuckles in there, tucked, I want to believe, lovingly under Arn's balls, all cozy. And I can't stress enough, kids, none of this is gay.
No, I mean, we'll get to the crop tops and the other specials.
Oh, honey, I loved the crop tops this episode. They need to bring back Raw Bowl. I'm ready. I was sold. But the horsemen come out, Randy scatters, every, like he wins. It's great. That was a wonderful end to like I like when the face can turn the dirty heel trick around on him. Macho does it real well too, because Macho's can be a fucking great heel. So like that was a fun opener to a weird Nitro.
Yeah, and it's kind of cool. Like, the more wrestling I watch, the better I get at understanding what makes someone a really good wrestler. Like, I remember specifically seeing, like, when Macho goes in for a punch or something, and he's like gently hitting him, or like, I wouldn't say gently, but like, not hitting him with full force, but like,
But connecting.
stomping, connecting with him, but stomping right at the right time. Like, he's foleying his own punches. And that's always cool to see.
Yeah, because he's from the older generation where you're like playing that. You're playing it to the back, like theater. So you do that to make it look like you're. That's how like the guy in the back feels that punch, because you're making that huge noise. And we talked about it last week, and I think on a little bit on a pay-per-view that's coming up here, about how they absolutely mic the ring underneath the ring to get all those sounds, and they pump that in to make everything bigger. You know what I mean? So that's absolutely a part of it. And yeah, you start to see the code a little bit, and you start to catch him whispering the next sequence to each other and stuff like that. And I love that shit. Like it doesn't sometimes when it you can it's different. Like I hate getting pulled out when like I love Jon Moxley, but he is notorious for not being discreet enough with his blading. Like he'll just get right in the camera and be like, see, right here, right here. That's yeah. See, now look,
Just in
like a
case you don't
fucking
miss, I don't want
jolt.
you to miss it.
Exactly. Like he'll get right in there. And it's just like, no, man, like give it play into the magic, Houdini it a little bit here. So it's re but you see it, and it's like so it sucks when it's done poorly, but I do like when you can kind of just catch it and it's just because you're so used to seeing it. My other favorite thing is you start to see the storylines, you start to see the code and where things are going to go, and but that makes it all the more fun when they swerve you and it's a twist that you don't see coming. And like that's just it. It's theater. It's theater that it's an ongoing story that plays out in real time. So all the characters get old in real time, and like everyone's lives play out in real time, and there's nothing else quite like it. It's fucking awesome. But speaking of getting used to watching really good wrestling, Benoit and Regal is coming up next, and my body is ready for grabs. Yay. These are like two of the best to ever do it. And like yeah, Benoit's a monster, but Regal's my favorite. Not a monster, best I can tell. So yeah, they give away the bull ending again. Bobby says that Atlanta may burn again, it's so hot, and I cackle. like fucking making a bur the fucking Civil War burning of Atlanta joke in 1996. Bobby Heenan does not give a fuck.
That's pretty fucking powerful, because especially in 1996, I wouldn't say it's fresh, but like, I feel like it's a little more dangerous than if you did it now.
Now the kids would just be like based, but like but it's like, dude, your boss lives there, bro. Like you can't be like saying that. He just does not care. But speaking of not giving a fuck, heel on heel action. Two of the best to do it, but these are like two bad guys. Like no one. Who do you cheer for here? Which I love that shit. This is full on like these two are like the fighting type pro wrestling. So like in the midst of this, they cut it. I think it's really funny. In the midst of all this, they cut to Hank Aaron in the crowd though, because like this is like getting ready to be like really awesome like wrestling match, and then they do the thing where they're like, "Look at the legitimate sports person that likes us. We're a real sport." Mongo says he hits 700 some odd home runs. Bobby immediately says, "If you listen to me, to hit 800."
Jesus.
And just like this is just going to become a Bobby Heenan podcast, and I will not like apologize. Like I'm like it's just it's fine. It's not my fault. He keeps saying money shit. Like I can't help it. Mago gets confused by Regal's cravat lock, which I thought was really great. because he does like it's a thing. Like in English wrestling, it's a type of chin lock. And Mongo's like, I've never seen a chin lock up like that before. It's very European moments. Yeah, it's a cravat lock. And I guess like Regal's told the story when he first showed up to WCW in 93, his first time in America. Everyone was all anyone would think to ask him was if, oh, can you do a cravat lock? He's like, yeah. It's like all they knew of English wrestling is, oh, yeah, they do like cravat lock.
I think it's just cravat lock is just really fun to say. So it's the only thing that sticks in your head.
Right? Yeah, it flows. Exactly. Regal is so good. He sells for the people two towns away. Like he's so over the top in a way that's still believable. Mm-hmm. And like that's why he's one of the best to do it. I love him. Oh, so good. At one point we got Benoit and Regal both going for a tombstone. They do the wonderful bend over backward move.
Yeah. That was really cool.
This is my. It's a good thing. It's a go-to. It's a, you flip out of the tombstone. We'll see more of that later in WWE. It became a staple. But like Benoit hits a tombstone beautifully. In this moment, though, I cringe because I remember that at this point Regal's neck is broken and he doesn't know it. Whoever, that's going to keep happening this whole time. Bischoff says that Benoit has been perfecting that move as of late, and that's him taking a jab at Undertaker because that's the Undertaker's finisher.
Okay. wow.
Yeah,
the number of things that just kind of like fly over my head as it's just like just snipes at the other.
That's what other I'm group. Here for. Yeah, no, I'd say like to me, it's like I didn't imagine I would be doing that. So much saying it. I didn't realize how much it was. He's just constantly throwing jabs at him. Mm-hmm. So I guess like the billionaire Ted stuff that we're going to get to makes a little more sense. Mm-hmm. And we go to Mean Gene. The horsemen are in the ring to complain about how they keep losing, which I think is really fucking funny.
Yeah, I remember like him getting so mad at just like, what was it? Like, you're languishing in mediocrity. Yes. It's like, oh, you're very funny.
Oh, Pillman's so good. And he's in like a black leather duster, like he's a crewman on the Nebuchadnezzar. Like, just years beforehand. Like, Pillman is taking the red pill and growing tits, and I'm here for it. And like, he's good. Oh, I don't think he made it until The Matrix. Now I'm sad. Unfortunately, yeah, I was gonna say, I think he didn't get to see The Matrix come out, which is unfortunate. Maybe it would have saved her, but there is infighting amidst the four horsemen. Gene tries to wrap it up, and out come the gooners trying to look tough. The temple, they're the Dungeon of Doom dudes, like come out holding themselves back from trying to fight these guys, and it's very silly. It includes Texas Senator Ted Cruz, the Zodiac, in his full makeup, and the whole thing was silly, but not as silly as the Raw Bowl. So, I mean, I'll give him that. Oh, you sent me a thing. I'm
I have the episode open next to me, so I have like more visual reminders, but I just landed on that still.
Dude, not language. All right, I'm gonna have to find that. Yeah, it's not language and mediocrity. Yes, exactly. That is what Pillman would be worried about right now. God, I love him. R.I.P. Gosh, his I guess his kiddo is gonna be coming through by Brandon soon though. Brandon was showing us stuff of Deep South Pro Wrestling in Atlanta and showing us some stuff. I guess Lexus King is coming through, and that's Brian Pillman Jr. Which is, he was Brian Pillman Jr. for a while in AEW, and then he went over to the Fed and they're like, no.
It's like, yeah, I don't think of a new name. We can't have that connect.
I'm sorry. Your dad died on our watch. So we're going to go ahead and have nothing to do with that.
I'm surprised like he went over there, but I guess like that's just kind of a thing, is like you go between different wrestling companies.
You go where they want you. You go to where pays, you know, generally. But there's, you know, and unless you get to the point where that, it's really great now that there's options, because for a while there wasn't. So it's great that like for an example, Edge, Adam Copeland, was in the he had to retire because he broke his back too much. I think, you know, if that happens, you break your back too much and you can't keep doing this, they won't let you.
I think
Doctor said,
wrestling is one of
no.
the few places where you could be like, oh, you broke your back a little too much.
Yeah, sometimes it's fine. Sometimes you can break your back just the right amount and you can keep going. But he broke his back too much, so he became an actor for a while. He was on Vikings, I guess. I never saw him on that. But he was also in the he plays Ares in the most recent Percy Jackson on Disney Plus, which I might watch just because Edge is in it, because I love Edge. But he basically then came back. He decided, like, fuck it, I hate that I had to retire early. I'm feeling good enough in a place where I want to do a couple more years at this and do the stuff I want to get done. So he came back to WWE because he was always a WWE guy and like very loyal, and AEW didn't exist at that point. They were just getting off the ground. So he came out and he debuted. I think it was he came out for a Royal Rumble, was a surprise entrance. And I wasn't a wrestling fan at the time, but I'm sure I would have died. Just died if that I had seen that shit. So like, because we he was a Hall of Famer because he retired, so they put him in the Hall of Fame right away. But he had the opportunity after a couple years of running with WWF to like re-sign with them. But it's like, well, what do you do? What are you gonna do with me? And they're like, well, probably not a lot. Like, you're not any of our you know, they're still the WWF. They want their young guys and their guys that or legacy and all this and blah blah blah. And so he's looking at maybe working very part-time, not getting much of a say in what he gets to do, and maybe like a legacy contract where he'll get paid forever, but he doesn't really get to do much of anything. And he said, well, fuck that, I want to go to AEW where my best friend is currently tearing it up as one of the best heels in the business right now, and just go wrestle all these people I never would have gotten the opportunity to wrestle. And he did that instead. And I think it's going really great for him. He's injured right now. But like it's that's the type of thing that for 20 years wasn't possible because of all of the end of result of the shit we're documenting on this show. Basically, they killed it, made it monopoly and made it so that you can't do that. So now you have that. And in 1996, he had that, which is why Brutus the Barber Beefcake is the Zodiac Killer. And
What a fucking arrangement of words.
yeah, right. What a wonderful sentence. Jesus Christ. We get a tag team times on WCW, and they got me doing homework because I'm like, who the fuck are the Super Assassins right now?
Yeah, I saw that. And I'm like, I got kind of excited because I'm like, oh, they're wearing like, lucha style masks. Maybe we'll have lucha style wrestling. And that was not the case.
Oh, buddy. So here's a long tradition of throwing masks on big dudes and calling them assassins. Boom, there's a tag team. This is no, I wish I were kidding. This is a business that gave us Mr. Wrestling and Mr. Wrestling 2 Secret of the Ooze. Okay. Like, this is a real naming conventions. And it's the same thing, that mask. You think it's a lucha mask, but no, it's just a white dude from like Ohio with like in Mr. Wrestling, and he's got the and, but it worked. Mr. Wrestling 2 was a big deal. It was one of I think it was Jimmy Carter's favorite wrestler. Like, he got to come to go to the White House because Jimmy Carter loved Mr. Wrestling 2. And he showed and but here's the thing, he went to the White House with the mask on. He refused
Oh,
to take it off.
good.
No, he keep a kayfabe, brother, even at the president. So I had to look it up though. This is actually the Powers of Pain. These are the Warlord and the Barbarian, two wrestlers who have had careers before this and will have a little bit of a career after this. They didn't know what to do with them, I guess, and they're like, Super Assassins, them's the rules. Yeah, we need a tag team, we don't know what to do with you, get the masks.
I'm wondering, like, because I was watching this, and I wonder if like they had no faith in this match because, like, in the middle of it, they have an interview with somebody else, and they're like just shoving it in the corner, and, like, don't look at this, don't look at this. We're just gonna talk. We're gonna talk to this other wrestler. Just stop looking.
It was really weird. And that other wrestler was fucking Craig Pittman. Like, they really just didn't give a shit about the Super Assassins. And like, okay, whatever. Like, no, it really, this is a popcorn match. I feel like they were out here playing jobber, even though it wasn't a squash. And they're like, these are two guys who could actually like work. And it was an all right match, but yeah, they obviously didn't care because they're talking to Pittman, interrupting again. This
and it
is.
wasn't even like a good interview. It was like, I'm going to be good. I'm going to be better too. And it's like,
nope.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah. Good story, bro. This is 4 weeks of him trying to find a manager by doing this. This is 4 weeks now of him going, Bobby, will you manage me? And Bobby going, hell no. I have a reputation. You should talk to Jimmy Hart. He's a piece of shit. He'll do anything. And then he talks to Jimmy Hart. Will you manage me? Hell no. I got a reputation. You know, like, all this shit. So now he's talking to Mongo. Mongo's not even a fucking manager. Mongo's barely a commentator. Like, Mongo has the dog. And like,
Mongo only manages Pepe, and that is it.
Yeah, Mongo manages Pepe and to speak into a microphone. He manages, and it works. Like, he somehow makes me like him. He's an agent of chaos. But yes, it's just sadness. He's been doing this, and I don't think it goes anywhere, and I don't want it to. Like, at this point, just quit. Bro, like,
or like, is it? I couldn't tell if it was just like, oh, I don't want to be the one who manages him, or if he just isn't a good wrestler.
Well, he wasn't a good wrestler. I imagine that there's racism involved in them not having anything for him, because that is absolutely a thing, especially right now. Like, I mean, eventually there's going to be lawsuits about it.
Yeah, that's not surprising in the least.
Yeah, right. So it's like, I wouldn't be surprised if that didn't have something to do with it, but also just comes down to the character sucks. And like, I'm sure he's an okay wrestler, but the character was awful. He only exists because of a few good men, literally. His finisher is called the Code Red. Like, it's just an arm bar. Like, it's not even like a super awesome Fujiwara arm bar, it's just an arm bar. So it's whatever, you know, it's just your shit sucks and no one likes you. And I guess they don't know what to do with them, so they have them begging for help. And it just doesn't, none of it makes sense to me. I'm losing my mind a little bit on this specific storyline. I hate it.
Because it's kind of like a weird nothing storyline. They stacked it on top of another fight, and they're like, I don't know, maybe two halves make a whole. Let's go with this.
They keep doing this too, and it's just uncomfortable. It makes me sad. And they did on top of a match that the crowd seemed to be super into. Like, when they finally get back to it, like, I've gotten to the point too where you try to listen to the crowd, you know, like the crowd will tell you if it's good or not. In the moment, and like, they were super into this, and like, these guys are giving it. They do a double team where one assassin holds Sting up in a vertical suplex and the other guy spears him from the top rope. It was delightful. The ref is distracted, so Sting gets out of it, of course, but like, halfway into this match, the commentators just start paying attention to it for the first time.
Like, they're basically, like, oh shit, there's wrestling happening.
Right. And I'm sitting here going, no, this has been cooking for like a good minute and a half. Like, they paid attention just in time for the baby faces to get the dual submissions on. The crowd shits itself, reacting a river of joy. and they ring the bell, and I'm like, all right, cool, woo. But then I about shit my own river of something. Bricks. A river of bricks is what I shat.
Yeah, yep, yep.
I'm flabbergasted saying it, because it is January 1st of the year of our gourd, 1996. And Mean Gene continues to refer to the Giant as the son of Andre the Giant. When will it end?
I keep seeing this, and I'm like, I understand that he's wearing the same outfit as Andre the Giant, and he's really, really tall.
But big guy.
And also, he talks like this all the time. Like, the poor.
Which is not how Andre talked. Andre was French. Where's the accent, motherfucker? Like.
Like, he just swallowed a box of tacks, and like, the poor subtitler is just struggling. I'm like,
probably
like
a fast rabbit job too, like a Fiverr. Like, this person is not getting paid. This person is a 1099 trying to go through this shit.
Exactly, and they're like, this is my fifth wrestling show I've had to subtitle today.
I don't even think I would enjoy that. Like. I mean, I would do it, please, if anyone's listening. Like, please, give me the opportunity. I will do it so good, but I don't even know if I would enjoy it. He skids past it, but, like, folks, really, I thought we were done. It, like, After Halloween Havoc, they kind of dropped it for a while, but here's Mean Gene, just Andre's kid. I'm like, no, we're th this is this must end. Jimmy says some shit, whatever. Captain Insano says some shit. I thought that I was gonna skip over this, but then holy fuck, he went so hard. You took the chair and hit me. He sounds like he
Again.
might cry almost. Like I almost lost it. Holy
You hit
shit. You hit me. Wah!
Sort of giant baby onesie.
Exactly. He's like, oh boy, give a pinky. He's so sad.
I need you to kiss it better.
Kiss it better. Fuck. God damn it, Kevin. Kevin Sullivan, I need a bottle. That's terrible. All right. Oh God. All right. Well, that's a new nightmare for me. And writing
You're
all of
welcome.
I'm writing all of this down, and I know what I'm doing on Canva later. Jesus Christ. Macho Man hypnotizes us, which is terrifying. We're finally getting to the main event. Like,
Oh, yeah,
yay.
he's like, I'm hypnotizing you. Eat a Slim
Slim
Jim.
Jim. Like, all right. I mean, I didn't need that much twisting of the arm, Macho, but all right.
Like, if you just hand one to me, I'll probably eat it.
I'll probably eat it. I know me. This...
Next time I'm at a gas station, I guess I'll think about
Yeah, Snaggle will be in there. It's swirling in the back of my head.
Commercial still effective from
Yeah, 20
1986.
odd years later. Yeah, but now that's marketing, folks. Write that down. But yeah, speaking of marketing, they let us know that Clash of Champions is coming. I might have to put that on the pay-per-view list. Clashes are fun. They're like pay-per-views that happened on TV, basically. And they go back before pay-per-views, basically. They were the first kind of like, because like the mega cards, like what we would now think of as pay-per-view, started as like Starrcade before WrestleMania, where it was this thing and it was done on closed caption or it was done on like NBC. They would do them like super Saturday night's main event where it was a big deal that it was on national television because otherwise it was mostly regional still. So Clash of Champions is still going on at this point in 1996, and that pleases me because that's something that's a callback to like 80s wrestling. Like some of the best Clash of Champions have like happened in like the early 90s when Sting was still Surfer Sting and like rolling up on a motorcycle with a rat tail and like a board and shit and like just wild stuff. And that's just like 6 years ago, according to this. But like, fuck yeah, Clash of Champions. So I want to watch some Clash of Champions. That's a thing we might do. But here comes Flair, head band-aided right where he blades, which I thought
Oh, I
was.
wondered what that was. I thought he just kind of looked like this might be heresy. I'm sorry. But he comes out wearing this robe and then like his head band-aided. He looks like a cult leader.
Well,
Just like
yeah.
he's like a guru who's going to try to sell me supplements or a cult. I'm not certain.
I mean that's just real life Ric Flair right now. It's energy drinks and supplements and
No. I can
yeah.
see the future
Woo!
by looking
No.
into the past.
Yeah, right. No, Sangy, I've had do you have any idea how many times I've had to listen to a commercial for his ghost kitchen? Woo wings.
Christ.
Woo wings.
Woo Wings? That's a fucking awful name.
Oh
Do you
my
want,
God.
hey, honey, do you want some Woo Wings tonight?
Woo wings. And like
Woo Wings.
the commercial. Ooh. All right, hold on, hold on. Let me
Would
write
you
that.
like some Wick Foil or Woo Wings?
All right, hold on. Wick Flair. Ooh, wings.
If you're hungry tonight, come and get some Wick Flair's Ooh Woo
Ooh,
Wings.
wings. So many flavors.
We got Buffalo.
Buffalo. God damn it. Hidden Valley Ranch.
A
Holy shit.
Southwestern.
Yeah. Oh my fucking God. Southwestern. All right. So, no, that's the title of an episode. So. Well, I try to remember what he's covering up with the Band-Aid. Oh, wigs, Jesus Christ. But it's just, it gives it away because, like, it's leaking through just where he would have bladed along his hairline. And it's like, okay, it's just you went too deep last night. Because this is the night after Starrcade. This is literally the night after Starrcade. So obviously he bladed at Starrcade. Hogan comes out and the whole match is just very meh. Is my notes. The crowd is into it, but meh. And then I never finished the episode saying he. Because,
oh, no?
No, okay. this is the point where I don't know how this ended. Because there was like 3 minutes left and I just never finished it.
Just so tired. I have to say, like, you've told me before, like, contractually obligated to promote Hulk Hogan, but, like, damn, they went deep in the paint for merch for Hulk Hogan. Like, the whole, like, foam finger, but it's him doing the kind of, like, the pointing pose.
Oh, my God. It was everything. But that's... Hulk Hogan is Hulk Hogan because of the merchandising. I'm like, that's the point. He just made money. Everyone loved his shit. He was just, and everyone still loved his shit in 96 enough to buy that crap, you know.
I too want to look like a McDonald's.
yeah, oh my God, I will never get it. But yes, the Hulkamania was still running wild enough for that, but it was winding down, and it's, the times they will be a-changing soon. But I do think it's funny that, like, we get Hulk versus Flair, which should be like a huge deal. And the whole time, I could not get into it. So I don't even know, how did it end, Sangy? How did this match end? Who won?
Is Flair still the champion? No, I think Hulk won, if I remember correctly.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Because, like, somebody came out with a chair. Oh, yeah, Andre the Giant's Child came out with a stool.
Okay.
And then Macho Man came in and took the stool and protected Hulk Hogan.
Oh.
And then Andre the Giant just left and, like... His running crew, a man with lightning bolts on his robe and, like, yes, no makeup, and a zebra.
That zebra is Texas Senator Ted Cruz, the Zodiac, okay? So, like, let's put some respect. That's the Dungeon of Goon. So Dungeon of Doom, but they're all gooners, I've decided. And was it just a clusterfuck? Was it a DQ finish?
It was kind of a clusterfuck, just kind of like
they just the match rang the ended. Bell and the match just ended. No one like won one.
I'm pretty sure somebody won. Let's do a little replay here. Ric Flair's punching Hulk Hogan. I'm gonna, you know, click on it so I get to see that over and over and over again.
I feel like that was just the whole match. Oh my God, I can't believe I ended up like just forgetting to finish it because
say about the match? Oh, there was the fun trickery of like, oh, the ref is distracted and
Oh yeah, you'll have that. Because Ric Flair can't lose, but Hulk is contractually obligated to always look good on camera. So like
The Four Horsemen, you did miss the part, and I didn't put notes in this. All four horsemen end up in the ring surrounding Ric Flair, and they're all on their knees as Hulk Hogan holds up the mystery object / brass knuckles. And the ref's like, oh no, spare them, Hulk Hogan, spare them. They don't know what they do.
They know not what they've done.
So maybe nobody won this match because it just kind of turned into a shit show.
Yeah, so it sounds like it might have just been a cluster cuss ending, and they at that point, I'm guessing Flair still has the title. Oh, I can't believe I just like totally dumped the ending of Nitro. But thank you for giving us that. That was beautiful.
I mean, clearly in the future, if I take notes, I gotta write down who won.
Yeah, it don't matter, brother. Fuck yeah, it does to them. They're like, hell no, I don't let me lose on camera. But that's fucking, that was a weird Nitro. It was not bad, but it was a weird one. Holy shit. So goddamn, it's wild because like you'd think that Hogan and Flair would be a big deal, but no one really seemed to give much of a shit.
There is one phrase that you missed. Like both Macho and Hulk Hogan were in the ring talking to the ref, one of the commentators, And Hulk Hogan says to Andre the Giant's child or whatever, fee fi fo fum, that me. Big nasty stinky one. I'm like, who the fuck is writing these?
Fuck me, Hulk Hogan that's a Terry Bollea banger. Original. That's an OC. Oh my god, fee fi fo, what the fuck? Okay, it's 1996, but this shit's still happening. God damn it. Okay.
There's so many things I wrote down where I was like, is this just a writer's room of people doing finger guns at each other? They're like, oh yeah, Dungeon of Misfit Boys. That was so good.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. No, the Dungeon of Misfit Boys. That's the thing. Crap. And he's sitting here going like, how is this going to end up taking the number one spot for 83 weeks in a row? And then we get to Raw and we found out, oh, that's why. Foosball! Finally, it's here!
Now we get to talk about crop tops.
Yes, the thing that they decided existed 3 weeks ago, the Raw Bowl, is finally here. There's the Raw Bowl Queen. This is the first time anyone's heard about
this. This poor lady, Ashley, I think,
Ashley.
So fucking uncomfortable.
She's surrounded by sexual predators that she has to pretend to be nice to.
Who's the guy next to McMahon?
Jerry the King Lawler.
Yeah, he is being touchy as hell.
He should be under the jail, and the corruption is the only reason he's not, is my guessing. That he is a very, very, very bad man, and hopefully he will not be here much longer in this world. That's fine.
Oh boy.
God, if you ever want to have nightmares, check out his Instagram. It's horrifying.
Like, it's one of those things where it's like, man, Goldust is in here for like 30th of a second. It's
really sad. Yeah. This is
the first time. They crushed his roses. He was being so nice.
Yeah, he's just trying to, you know, fulfill that stereotype about the evil queer men trying to come after the straight boys.
I was wondering if this was like some queer phobia shit.
Oh, they're trying. they're,
so it's supposed to be a queer heel?
Yes, exactly. I know. It's so weird for us now. I don't get it. Yeah, it's like, what do you mean? If he's queer, then clearly he's the baby face. It's hard for me to understand, but this is what I grew up on. And turns out, like, it had not the effect that they thought. It's like the queer-coded Disney villains, and you think that you're saying that the gays are bad, but really we're just like, Divine is awesome.
Yes, I'm represented. It's kind of like how weird only doesn't work against us. It's like, okay, yeah, sure. I love it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, all these fuckers that we can call weird because it actually affects them. I'm going, yes, and? Like, you have no idea. Yeah, I haven't even started. Like, I've been holding back. You know? But like, speaking of holding back, they have told us nothing about the Raw Bowl. And the Raw Bowl has existed as a black and white promo little commercial thing with Freddie Blassie and everyone wearing these tank tops, these crop tops. It is pretty great.
We can't cover the muscles or the belts. You got to cut them higher.
So fucking wild. But before we can even get into any of that, history strikes again. Because I talked about it last week with Brooke that he was going to finally show it. And we've talked about it a little bit. Here's Nacho Man, the Huckster, and Scheme Gene being advertised for the first time.
They are so fucking proud of this. Like,
they're so proud of
it. They keep mentioning it. They have a little skit. Like, the only thing that was good is the Nacho Man breaking a Slim Jim. That was kind of funny.
And hurting his mouth. Yeah, that was pretty good. Yeah, but
that's about it.
They're mad. They're like, don't put in the paper that they're mad.
Don't put in the paper I was mad.
He's so mad because his women's champion showed up a couple weeks ago and dumped her belt in the fucking garbage on WCW, and they keep taking more of his talent, and they keep taking swipes at him, like mm-hmm. we just talked about that whole show. So we get Billionaire Ted. And they are coming not live from Delaware with a pet band. This whole setup is so weird. The king is wearing Cleveland Browns colors. This is great. It feels, though, like a high school gymnasium in Delaware. Like, it feels really small. It's very weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's weirder than usual.
Like they are in the gym for the pep band.
Yes, like their pep band. That's their gym. That's their home gym. The wrestling came to the pep band instead of the other way around.
It's cheaper. I'm just so fucking happy. Like, I know it's such a side note, but I'm like, oh, thank God these cheerleaders are wearing very conservative outfits. Because I don't trust none of y'all.
Oh, no. And that's going to change very quick here. Even in the next upcoming weeks, folks, minor spoiler, I have watched a pay-per-view a couple weeks ahead of where we are. And it's almost like a different world. Sonny's going to get real sexy coming up here in ways that are kind of uncomfortable looking back on it now. Yeah, speaking of uncomfortably sexy, tag team turn in with boys in cute little crop top jerseys, and it's adorable. It's so cute. It's just like, I'm like, okay, I don't know what this is, but they're so cute. I guess it's a tag team tournament, and it's not even a tournament. It's a four tag team elimination match, and I'm like, okay, just call it okay. But fuck me, Camp Cornette comes out with Yoko, and then there's Razor and a free agent partner, Savio Vega.
I think it's kind of snubbed. I think he comes out like for a minute.
Yeah, like, and he gets some stuff in, but it really is very much Razor needs a partner, eeny, meeny, miny, Savio. Like, we're going with Savio.
Oh, can we also, I think this, Razor Ramon has the yellow jerseys, right?
Yes, because he has, like, yellow with the Razor pants.
Yeah, it's just Razors on his ass. Can we appreciate, because, like, all of these crop top jerseys have... I'm never gonna stop saying it. Have like, you know, kind of custom text on it. Like they did some really shitty fat phobic thing where Yokozuna is 461 or 641 or something.
Because they're trying to say it's how much he weighs. They always, which he's probably closer to like 541 at this point. Mm-hmm. He was a big boy. But they always blow it up because that makes him like more daunting, you know.
I really feel like Vince really loves just like, oh, look at this big guy. It happens twice in this episode.
He loves that shit. It is his shit. Yeah, because I'm sure Mabel shows up, I think, at some point too. Yeah. Oh god, no, I'm starting to remember. It's coming
yeah,
back
you're starting to remember.
Oh, but no.
I do want to appreciate Razor Ramon's crop top that says Raw for Bull. I'm sorry, I'm like, that doesn't specifically sound dirty, but it adjacently sounds dirty.
This brings back an old bit about his good buddy Kevin Nash not being above doing gay sex for money. Raw for Bull, like sometimes you really need that weed, and I will raw for Bull, okay, man?
just putting it out there.
Just putting it out there, okay? Oh, the world will be his. They get interrupted by Goldust Usher delivering flowers, as you mentioned. Razor, being secure in his sexuality, responds to this with assault and battery, basically, while Goldust watches and oozes gay. It's wonderful. This is going to continue.
It is pretty great. Like, he's just hanging out in the back in this fabulous fucking robe, and he's just like... my heart. It's okay, Goldust. It's okay.
Dustin is killing this, and no one who's in charge understands why it's so good, and it mm-hmm. makes me so happy. And I'm looking forward to more of this. Like, obviously, it's terrible. It's bad. They're trying to play up gay panic stereotypes, but it ends up not working because we've always been here, saying, like, there's always been queer wrestling fans going, no, no, no. This man is camp. This man is amazing. This man like, is not even gay, and that's fine. You don't like, have to be gay to be a drag queen.
Like, from an outsider, I don't know if this like plays out later on. It just feels like really embracing the role. Like, there's no like, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. It doesn't feel like a caricature, as in like what a straight person would think, but it just feels like very leaning into it. And I was like, okay, I guess if you're going to put me in this role.
And that's absolutely what happened. Famously, Dustin's talked about, and I think I've mentioned this on the pay-per-view, that Vince just said androgynous. Yeah, bizarre and androgynous. He didn't say we're going to make you a flaming homosexual, Dustin, mm-hmm. but in every other which way. You know, it's like he's trying to, it's Vince. Vince just wants to say the F slur so bad, but he can't. It's got to be bizarre.
Right. One.
You know, bizarre, you know, like a faggot, you know, like it's just, calm down, Vince. Calm down.
You know, like, they have to give him like a chew toy. He's just foaming at the mouth in the writer's room.
Oh, God.
Sorry, I always hit you at the wrong time.
Oh, no, it's going to be ongoing. No, just give him a rawhide. He's going to get a rawhide here. He's going to slur quick.
Quick, shove it in his mouth.
Shove it in. Yeah, exactly. Get the peanut butter. You know?
I just like the idea of Vince McMahon. You put peanut butter on the roof of his mouth and he's just like kind of doing that thing dogs do where it's like,
and then you ADR over it. That's how you get that's how they avoid the slurs is they make it look like he's talking, but he can't get them out. And there then they go layers, in over it.
Yeah, there's two layers of kayfabe happening.
Oh my God.
Wrestling and everyone trying to ignore Vince.
Well, we're finding that the knives are out, to quote Josie again, the knives are out for Vince right now mm-hmm. because like a former writers are coming out and being like, oh no, it was the writers room at WWE is an absolute hellhole. And like, they're like starting to tell their stories anonymously and shit because he can't hurt them anymore at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all that's true. Like what we're describing is a thing that they would like. He literally would get mad at people for taking the racist jokes out. Like that's a Christ. Thing. That's a thing that actually happened multiple times. He like mm-hmm. got like fired or like demoted someone because he had the audacity to take the racist joke out. When the people involved in the joke are going, I don't feel comfortable as a British man saying this.
Mm-hmm.
Can we drop it? And the black people in the skit being like, yeah, I'll say it. Like, it's fine if I make this joke.
Right.
But Neville can't make this fucking joke. Currently, wrestling is the bastard Pac. I love him. He's an AEW. He's great. But it turns out they asked him to make like a Martin Luther King joke on Martin Luther King Day. And he's like, I'm not. Yeah, and he's like, I ain't fucking doing that, mate. Like, I ain't doing it. Like, I know enough to know this is not good. And they mm-hmm. took it out and Vince got mad. And it's like, dude, fuck you to hell. Fuck you forever, my guy. Like, what a piece of shit. So, like, none of the there were signs that we see on our podcast here are really like surprising at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm sure there's going to be stuff that shocks me because I either wasn't there for it or don't remember it the way I should have because I was eight. You know, I'm sure there's going to be stuff that makes me go, oh my God, I didn't realize it was this bad. But like nothing's going to really surprise me because like what the fuck wouldn't this piece of shit do? Like,
because like even like I noticed like overall between the two matches just kind of a top down view is that there was like I remember in WCW I think it was Ric Flair took a hit out of the ring like falling on the mat and I'm like that was like the one that felt like the most like ooh that actually looks like it really hurt.
Yeah,
in real life,
there's no way that doesn't hurt.
Yeah, but like in a lot of the WWE matches, I remember seeing like just a lot of hits getting taken, and like that ring is like I've told this to you before in like a mystery lost episode, but like noticing the bounce of the ring between like current day wrestling and right now, like every time they hit the floor of that ring, it is stock still. There's no give.
There is no give at all. I don't know why kid me thought there was bounce. Like kid me watching this stuff back in the day thought that it was kind of like hitting something more attuned to like a trampoline.
Mm-hmm.
Like had that kind of give for some reason. Turns out that it just looks like it has that kind of give when you're hitting it so hard and you weigh 400 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't bounce. It's giving because they're just huge guys.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first time I stepped in a wrestling ring, I was like, what? Like, wait, what? you guys are landing on this? Like, oh my God.
Right.
It's terrifying. Yeah. And on that note, back to the wrestling. God, with Goldust sent us on a very always necessary tangent. It's going to get worse and better. But finally, DiBiase brings out the corporation of Psycho Kid, rest in peace, and Sean Waltman, sadly still alive. There's finally we get some rule. I'm on a tear. I don't give a fuck. Justice for China. There's some rules laid out. Basically, it's an eliminator with the tag teams against each other, which isn't in itself awful. But this is the true beginning of the football gimmick commentary that makes my I wanted to die. They just kept doing it. The commentary is useless as usual. But the guys working in the ring are all great. Sid does his thing where he just yells at the crowd to shut up. And it pops me every fucking time. Smoking Guns do a thing. We get Camp Cornette to fight each other. That's great. Kills time and pleases the fans. And like that's what a lot of like, and I'm starting to realize as we go through this, like this match just drags on. It's like, this is great though, because this is like, and it's what we kind of talked about earlier on. Like they're really playing out almost the camp of it. Mm-hmm. In a way that doesn't piss me off if the commentary was shut off, basically. Like, Earl Hebner looking like an NFL ref with the yellow flag and shit, that made me giggle. Like that, I'm simple. That's fucking great. But they keep trying to make puns and none of it is doing it for me. But Earl threatening to throw the flag, that did it for me. That's mm-hmm. fun. That was fucking funny. Good shit. Like that's like, if you're going to do this, do it like that, you know? Lawler says something disparaging and about Savio and Razor doing prison time. Pardon. Mm-hmm. And it's that racism again. And I think we should abolish prisons except for Jerry and Vince. They have to be in the last prison together, just them.
Then we'll just grandfather them into the policy and they can kept be the alive. Last ones out. Yeah.
And like the best healthcare kept alive in a box together, just the two of them. They deserve each other, the fucking chuckle fucks.
Just give them wrestling matches to commentate on for the rest of their lives.
Oh my god, they'd kill each other. They'd kill each other so fast. That'd be awesome. All right, yeah. So we're getting a live feed, pay-per-view. The Triller, Fight TV, let's get on this. Everyone in this current match, though, fucks, except Sean Waltman. And that in itself makes me appreciate this little silly gimmick Raw. It was a fun match that should have been garbage on its face, but they managed to make it fun. Mm-hmm. I do think that they call the commercial an official timeout. I sighed forever. When we get back, we find out that this abomination is being brought to us by Lipton Brisk Ice Tea.
crammed right in there. And I'm like, what the fuck? What just happened to the Brisk Lipton iced tea bowl?
It's right in there, so you know where to send your complaints. We get a second instance of just a random look at Brother Love proselytizing to an empty locker room, and I feel like I am on the bad drugs.
Oh, yeah, because he's just kind of like...
He's just going
outside the door, and he's just kind of there.
Just at nobody. It's just an empty locker room, and he's just Jesus and love and brother.
It feels like that meme image of like all of my friends are with me. They're just laughing out of frame, sort of thing.
Yeah, my flock is here. You just can't see them.
Yeah, they're totally there though. The camera just isn't catching them.
Christ Almighty! But in the meantime, Razor Ramon is still over. Like, people love him still. He catches the kid and fucks him up with the fallaway slam, which I love. And the ref says that the kid called for a timeout.
Oh, and like, the ref didn't see it, though.
And he being like goes to try to enforce it. All the heat on Razor that just got built up deflates for the goof, and I'm so, so mad. Because, like, it was great. The fallaway slam, the crowd's eating into it. He's going for his finisher. Everyone's having a great time. And they just deflate it with this the XFL, like, or the NFL goof. And I'm just like, fuck. Oh,
the one where they freeze frame and they're, like, drawing over it. And they're like, this happened. And, like.
Oh, I think that's a little bit later. But just the fact that that they let the kid call the timeout. Mm-hmm. In the middle, that is not a thing. So it's like already we're like, okay, so in this, you're in the middle of this, like it felt like a vaudeville act, which isn't mm-hmm. terrible. I got mad because Razor had built like this really great heat and the crowd was into it. And it's like, I feel like in that moment, if I were them, and I guess it's easy to say because I don't have to answer to Vince.
Right.
But if I had been them, I would have said, well, fuck the little goof. Like we go where the energy is telling us to go, you know?
Right, right.
Just silly, ridiculous, fucking stupid goof finish. And I just, to Razor and Savio, and like, they get played off by the high school pep band, and I'm just right. fucking crying how ridiculous it is. It was all right, but like, whatever. They deserved better. They just keep wrestling while we do commercials and a replay of what just happened, like you just said. Mm-hmm. With that shit. And I'm like, okay, no, take that, the Madden drawing away from Lawler. He doesn't deserve that at all. You can give that power to Bobby Heenan only. Heenan used to have that back in the day, and it was delightful because mm-hmm. Bobby can be trusted with a bit. Like, you know, he has comedic timing. Lawler has indictments. At this point, we're 17 minutes in, and I'm starting to think, like, maybe this is the only match we're going to see this week, and that would actually be fine with me. Like,
I think it kind of is, isn't it? Because, like... It
unfortunately is not. I mean, kind of. Like, sort of, because the other one's a replay.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. I'm like, this is a completely different thing. Did they just, like... kind of shrug and not have another wrestling match lined up after
and, and this one's not live, so like they got to decide how they wanted to do this thing, and this is how they went with it, which is
this is what they did.
This is really weird. The idea that they're going to actually take this one joke, because the whole thing is they're taking the one joke, what if wrestling was like football and vice versa, and mm-hmm. they're going to make a whole hour of TV out of it. And I thought, there's no way they're going to do that, but then I remembered that Vince made the XFL twice, so yeah, this tracks. Like, he actually he's like, wait, no, this is a great idea. We're going to do that and lose so much money, and then The Rock's going to lose money, and it's going to be wow. really yeah. I think the XFL still technically exists. It's The Rock's baby right now because Vince isn't allowed to touch anything because he's a monster, mm-hmm, which is, mm-hmm. you know, as is all right with the world. This continues because XFL. But meanwhile, fun tag team wrestling and heel shenanigans. Like, that's just is. This match is actually really great outside of everything else about it. Like the wrestling's like, great. Everything else sucks.
Like, they just glued too many props to it, and it's just getting in the way of the wrestling.
Well, this, you put it that way, this match is absolutely the fucking sketch from I Think You Should Leave. This match is too much shit on me. Like, too much fucking shit on me. It was a great idea, but I got too much shit on me. Is absolutely what's going on here. Oh, God, it's so sad. So again, they mentioned the Huckster. We're down to Smoking Guns and Sid and the Kid, which is all right. We're coming up for the Rumble, though, and that excites me every year, and I'm a sucker. It's fun. I love the Royal Rumble. It's my favorite, one of my favorite things that they've ever done and continue to do. We just watched the pay-per-view for it, me and Hamster, and it was a fucking joy. Getting to see Hamster experience their first Rumble, always fun. But fucking again, the Huckster gets mentioned, and I was expecting another couple months before these started, but it took 2 weeks. Like, 2 weeks after Medusa does the shit, he decides, like, fuck it, I'm gonna start calling Ted Turner a bitch on TV, basically. Like, it's just really leading into it. Some of the only other notes I have for this is Sid does a really little quiet. He looks right into the camera and he does the shut up again, but quietly into the camera. Like, he's telling us at home to shut up.
Yeah, he's like, I know you're saying shit at home. Fucking shut up.
Shut up. I know you're talking shit at home. Shut up.
I can hear you through the TV, assholes.
I know these things because I'm the master and the ruler of the world. So he does it. And I know the production truck was probably pissed, but I found it to be exquisite. Like, just stare down the camera. Razor comes back to fuck with shit because he's mad, and it causes the Guns to win the first and only ever Raw Bowl. They never did this again. I wonder why.
It's truly a mystery.
Yep. Now, I'll have to look into that. Surely someone dropped the ball there. Bart Gunn is going to make a career of being the first and last things in WWE history. Like, that's this isn't the first time this happens, or the last time this happens to him. We'll get to the Brawl for All, the probably worst idea in the history of wrestling. Where they're like, what if we do a tournament where we get all these fake wrestlers to go, like, actually box for real and see who wins? And it's just like, people got career-ending injuries.
Oh,
like,
God.
Like, it was just the worst fucking idea, and they ran it all the way. Like, it's one of those ideas that's so bad that there's a Dark Side of the Ring episode about it, because it was just that bad. An idea that it gets an episode of a show about how bad it was, but Bart Gunn wins, so good for him. He's the first and last of all his bad ideas. He comes on top, so good for him. Christ! But after a half hour of solid wrestling entertainment, we get the obligatory talking about Shawn Michaels, like anyone gives a shit.
The whole like 2 minutes of him doing things, and then the guy outside the men's locker room just kind of.
We get the Wrigley's halftime report.
Oh yeah, that's it.
Which again, more product placement. Dandy Doc Hendricks. I just can't. This is so bad. I hate this so much. We get Diesel and Mabel coming. Cool. But first, Jumbo Jim Ross, because Vincent has to make fun of Jim for being fat. It's literally that simple.
Yeah. It's
fucking hell.
Yeah.
It hurts me inside. Like, just let us be fat. Jim deserves it. Jim's been through so much. Mostly working for you, Vince. This whole segment is silly and awful, but it is giving us a look at the Royal Rumble card. And I wrote down my notes. It's like when you stick your head in a huge bag of cannabis and everything just reeks of banger. And I'm just watching this card going, yes. Oh, it's going to be so good. Like, I'm just feeling good about this. And it's still fucking raw, but they just, oh, God. I feel good about it for a second, and then they give us a replay. This is where it comes down to. It's technically a match, but it's a replay of the hog match from In Your House that we watched on the last pay-per-view.
I think I either saw this one or I saw like another In Your House. I think it was one of the lost episodes, like the audio disappeared.
Well, you saw the beginning of this feud that is still happening at this point, between the beginning of the class warfare between Connecticut Man Hunter Hearst Helmsley and Salt of the Earth Pig Farmer of the name of Godwin, Henry O, I believe. So hog, literally hog. But I hate when they do this shit. They're just like, okay, here's a match that already happened. It just reeks of lazy when your competitor is doing live shit. Like, how much longer does he think he's going to be able to fucking do this?
Look, they're just so proud of all of those shitty fucking Jeff Foxworthy jokes.
Yeah,
they crammed in there.
Yeah, they had to throw them in there. It's their best shit, damn it. Oh, you're right, Sangy. I'm sad that you're right.
And also, like, the reason why I say, like, I this feels really familiar is because of that stupid fucking slop bucket. I hate that gimmick so much. Like, I'm not even into wrestling, and I'm like, I've seen this twice, and I don't like it.
Yeah, no, and that's too many times. Yeah, like, that's two times too many. What the fuck? Oh, it's just so gross. I hate it. It's not making me feel good about the new year, Vince. This match goes for over two commercial breaks.
Right.
What the fuck? With more looks into Vince totally not being mad because of we get Huckster napping and Nacho Man breaking a tooth while snapping into a meat stick. TM. God damn it. But once this is over, we finally get the main event. King Mabel gets carried to the ring. And people with astute eyes will notice that two of the people carrying him are the Hardy Boys, the brothers who are now like going to be Hall of Famers in the modern times. But now they're carrying out King Mabel because they are jobber nobodies and they must pay their dues. Poor little kids. They're also, I think, like 19 at this point. Like, they're literally like little babies. And then we get a third random look at Brother Love preaching to no one. This is a fucking weird Raw saying it. Like, this is, I don't like it.
I was just confused because I'm like, okay, so this is the end of the Raw. There, it's a little weird because there was a bowl thing at the beginning, but this final match should be like, you know, the climax of the show. Like, it's gonna be a really cool fight. In my understanding, this is where the cool shit is, and then it's over in 30 seconds. I don't quite understand.
They squashed Mabel. Like, I didn't understand. Like, I didn't understand what was happening. Like, none of this made sense. They at least
you could have cut off half of the fucking pig wrestling.
Oh my God, and had an actual match instead. Yeah. Yeah, and it seemed like they were making a progress lately. Like, they were getting into a kind of a groove, albeit not a great groove that I enjoy, but they were getting into something, and it seemed to be making a little bit of progress. And this feels like they're going backwards now. They're doing too much because they're clearly freaking out that they're getting their ass kicked and getting dunked on, basically, by WCW. Because here comes Diesel, and holy shit, it's a squash. He beats him with a single big boot.
Yeah, it was like, oh, that's kind of disappointing.
Yeah,
like, if I was there, that would have sucked.
Yeah, no, Jackknife, like, he beats Mabel with a boot. Jackknife's Mo just because he can, because, like, the match lasted 30 seconds and he's got to get his finisher in. So he's like, give me your buddy. I'm going to fuck him up. What is this show? And then they give him pyro for that.
Yeah, that's it. That's the thing that baffles me. It's like, they give me this, like, beautiful pyrotechnics, and it's like, you came in third. What is that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's that meme of the guy biting the fucking spraying everyone in champagne, and like, dude, what the fuck?
I'm like, was there something?
This sucks? Like...
And especially as an outsider, I was like, oh, I don't know, is there something I'm missing? Was this a case of, like, King Mabel was, like, injured and, like, they just kind of had to do whatever?
But I don't know, maybe, but what? I suppose if I was a professional, I could have done some digging, but I was just going, what the fuck? Like,
just what happened here?
What happened here? And then Lawler tries to get an interview, and instead Diesel takes his arm candy, which that made me happy because I enjoy when Lawler feels pain. So, like, poor Ashley escaped, but I don't think she's any safer with Kevin Nash, if I'm being honest.
No, it's out of the frying pan and into the fire sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah, this ain't good all around.
She's more mobile in a ring. Like, she's standing up. She's able to run faster.
There's clear... There's clear exits, yes. Oh, God. I just gotta stop trying to get nicotine while you're saying funny things.
Sorry. Well, you're like, oh, cool, a break. I can get some nicotine in.
Yeah, but then you're hilarious and it kills me saying it. Damn it. But then they say they're gonna, this actually made me, this popped me. They say they're gonna do a Lombardi trophy presentation for the Raw Bowl, because that's the trophy they give out at the Super Bowl, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the Brooklyn Brawler, Steve Lombardi, giving a trophy of himself, and that's that.
Yeah, it's just like I'm scrolling through it now, because this is the part I missed. I got to the end with the pyrotechnics, and I'm like, okay.
I guess we're not. What else do I need to know? Like, what else could there possibly be after that? Like,
and then they're in this locker room, and like you said, it's just a cutout of him. I think it's smoking a cigar. I think that's how that's working. Yes. And it's just glued to a
half of a trophy. Like, not
yeah,
even
like
a whole trophy.
Something sitting around.
Yeah,
like someone's football trophy.
They just pulled the top off of it and just put Steve Lombardi's face on it. And it's like, there you go. And honestly, of all the fucking awful jokes and puns and shit, this whole episode of Raw, that one popped me. That's good.
That's an actual solid joke.
That's a solid joke. Steve Lombardi, Lombardi trophy. I guess, see what you did there. All right. But finally, we get to, they've been teasing that there's a monster entrant for the Royal Rumble, and we get to find out, as they start to tell us who's going to be in the Rumble, the monster entrant is Dory Funk Jr. I'm kidding. I mean, there's lots of guys, but Dory Funk Jr., all right. I was not expecting Dorrance Funk Jr. to get advertised, let alone be in it, so that's fun. The big news, though, it's Vader time, baby. It's time. It's a Vader time. Vader is coming to the WWE after he got fired from WCW very not long before this. He got his ass knocked out by Paul Orndorff in the locker room because he's a bully and talked shit and got hit. Mm-hmm. So now he's in the Fed. Yay!
So he went crying is what I'm understanding. Yeah.
Pretty much, like, he got fired, and you're like, what the fuck, and Vince is like, well, they keep stealing my guys, I can do that, come here, Vader, come be my Vader, it's Vader time, baby, I'm sure it'll be fine, and I won't have you call yourself a fat piece of shit on camera, that will never happen.
Oh.
2 years. Give it 2 years, buddy. So
Vince is just like a menace to everybody. Everybody. I was gonna say like to anyone who's not a white man, but I'm like, no, even they're not safe. Nobody is safe.
Nobody is safe. No one is safe from this piece of shit. He's just a piece of shit to everyone. And now that the fun's over, we finally get billionaire Ted's war room. Just the saddest shit of all time.
It looks like Russo. A discount, like, Doctor Doom layer of villains or something.
Yeah, and I mean, there's villains there. Vince Russo plays one of the suits, and he's an absolute monster. They try to play up that WCW has all the old guys literally 45 seconds after announcing that Dory Funk Jr. was going to be entering the Royal Rumble. And I just like, dude, the irony is thick. This whole episode of Raw made me feel like I was on hallucinogenic drugs, and I'm happy that it's over. Because Jesus Christ, that was a weird one saying it. I'm so happy you're here for Raw, though.
Just kind of blackout between segments, and that's why it feels so disjointed. It's like there was a Raw Bowl, and then I blacked out, and then there were pigs involved, and then I blacked out again.
Then there was shiny pyrotechnics, and that was cool. I like the colors.
Like a king man came in on a palanquin and then left immediately. It does feel like dream logic.
It was weird. And then there was bright colors, and then there was the dungeon of like the actual Legion of Doom, like war room. Going on, that was weird. And I don't like any of this. It was so weird. I was on drugs, not the fun drugs, the bad drugs. It was Vader salvia time.
The salvia trip episode. This just was a bad time.
A salvia trip episode. I gotta write. Sangi, you're giving me so many options for fucking titles here. This is so good. That being said, I feel though as though I still have to pick a match of the week. I'm going with Macho Man and Arn Anderson. It fucked. It was everything I loved about the older school of that era of wrestling. And that is my match of the week. I don't know if you had a favorite match of the week, Sangi.
You know what? I'm gonna pick that fucking last one.
The squash match.
Match of the week, because it's so confusing. Poop. I will not stop thinking about it. It'll be 3 o'clock this morning, and I'll be like, why did they end it so soon? What happened? Is there missing footage? Is this a creepypasta?
That's how you make a memory, brother. What if we
give them no wrestling whatsoever? Let's see how they like that.
One boot. Oh my god, that's so good. It's even better because that's like Hogan's thing is the big boot, and like you say, you're gonna have it. You're gonna, look, it's my new Hogan. Fuck you, Terry. I don't miss you at all. I don't care about you. You know, I don't wake up in a cold sweat in the middle of the night screaming your name. That's not happening. No, don't put in the paper that I'm mad still. God. And I mean, on that note, we also have who won this week.
Who won between the two different wrestling programs?
Between the two different promotions, who won? WWE. I wonder who possibly could have had a better week this week. I didn't even finish the show, and I'm giving it to Nitro. Christ almighty.
Look, Nitro might have had some baffling phrases, but at least they were fun to think about, and they were not shitty Jeff Foxworthy jokes.
Yeah.
Even Vince was like, please stop saying these.
Oh, my. Yeah, no. Oh, my God. It was so... The Salvia Divinorum of wrestling this week was that episode of Raw done fucked me up. Holy shit, Sangi. That was fun. Thank you for finally coming on the show and not just drawing the art for it, which is also a thing I love you for.
Well, thank you for inviting me, even though, like, I'm way out of my depth. It's always fun, like, kind of peering in and being like, what's happening over here?
Oh, love it. No, exactly. Like, I love to be able to have that part of our working relationship, because we work with a bunch of creators. So everyone's doing like their own weird little things, and you get to check in on it. I love to just be like, this week in fucking silly wrestling program. You know? Like, Like, here's the update. This shit happened. All right. So that happened. Yeah. But on that note, so that happened. We did the episode. Do you have anything you would like to promote? Places that you want people to go to find your art, if you would like, or places to come see you be funny, or just see you be awesome? Because I can't stress enough, saying he is awesome. Saying you rules.
I mean, if you want to follow me on Blue Sky, it's kind of a grab bag of whatever. It's a real post for my friend's account. So that one's sanguinary novel dot bsky dot whatever. It's the standard.
That's
title.
So cool, I believe, is the standard. Yes.
Yeah. And then I guess if you want to see my portfolio, it'll have, like, if you want to see some in progress sketches and kind of the building blocks for the Monday Night Fake Fights logo, that's glitchprismatic.com. And that'll get you to that. But otherwise,
fucking A. Thank you, Sagi. Thank you again for making the art. It was so fun watching it come together and showing the difference between a fern and a cannabis leaf. We figured that out together.
It was just so fun to do because, like, everything, I wouldn't say everything, but a lot of things now and I are a very, we want clean, modern. And, like, this was the one time I got to be as extra as possible. And that was part of the assignment.
Oh, part of the assignment was like, no, this is retro and campy and extra and silly. Like, that's the point.
Like, I remember Brandon looking at it. Yeah. I remember Brandon looking at it and going, this is hideous. I'm like, exactly. It's perfect.
Oh, Brandon. Brandon just doesn't understand my art, okay? Because he said the same thing with the title images. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. I have a direction. Like it's a thing. And all the guests find it delightful. And that's who I'm doing this for.
Right. It's for the marks, as you've said.
As I've said, yes. The original episode or title of the show is going to be For the Marks. That is who I'm doing it for, even if it's new marks. And on that note, thank you, Marks and Sickos, for hanging out and listening. You can find us on Blue Sky at mnffpod.bsky.social. The Instagram that I have been updating at mnffpod. Woo! Yeah, thank you. Finally. All it took was Blue Sky getting video and then me going, well, okay, I guess I'll start making audiograms. Fuck it. Oh, I guess I'll have to up my game because the one social media site I really give a damn about made it possible. We are a Blue Sky podcast, and again, not apologizing. And if you want to join, you can join the Patreon at patreon.com/mnffpod, where you get pay-per-view watch parties and all kinds of other good stuff. We got a extra 20-minute conversation with Brooke Binkowski last week because we literally couldn't stop talking about everything but wrestling. She is a fucking delight. I hope that Brooke will be coming back. I'm pretty sure Brooke will be coming back. But you get, like, watch parties like Starcade, you know, the one that right before the night that we came here. So if you're a, you know, perfectionist like me and you want the whole thing, that's where to get the stuff that isn't usually on, that we're getting the exposition from usually. And you get some pretty good stuff there. Like their most recent one had Dusty Rhodes. What if Dusty Rhodes was on Tumblr, which still, holy fuck. They call their Malcolm Dream a tendiquia, baby. I don't know why. And I don't understand. Oh, God, I love it. And that's going to be funny to me until I die. So that's where that lives. And otherwise, we will see you guys next week for more Raw versus Nitro on Monday Night Fake Fights. Bye.